Hi. Welcome and welcome you all to Spotify Twinkles episode. I hope you are all doing fantastic. I am recording this on a Friday evening. It's a little bit of calm today and I'm sitting with a cup of coffee while I thought I'd record. As I've already mentioned in my other podcasts, I am not a person who podcasts on a regular basis. Whenever I have the urge to do it is when I come to podcast. Otherwise, I don't care only whether I have an episode or whether I wanted to do an episode. What I meant to say is I'm not a habitual content creator for podcast, but whenever I wanted to speak or raise my voice about, I thought I won't shy away. So this today I had this urge of speaking about this because yesterday I posted about this as a content in some other platform. Then I thought it's must for my Twinkles channel's listeners. I'm so proud of you all. I've got 24 listeners. Thank you so very much, and I really respect your time for listening to me. It means a lot because every beginner, every master is once a beginner, they say, right? Everybody would have started from zero to whichever higher count they have achieved. So I value your time and I respect for you guys listening to me. I really appreciate that. And lots of gratitude to you all. So coming to the point, yesterday there was this intern who was not from a technical background, not a tech savvy guy. He was from finance background. He reached out to me for doing some odd documenting work, and he wasn't unable to get the tech keywords. Few of the keywords were onboarding, scrum, skills and all those basic things only, but it was a little hard for him to understand. So what happened was he reached out to me. I was being kind with him because generally freshers have a kind of I feel them because they are trying to learn, they are curious about things, they are scared. So I always have a friendly tone with them. I make them all feel comfortable in my presence because I don't want to be the boss to them. I never carry that attitude, neither to them nor to anyone. So I'll be like going an extra mile of kindness, extra dose of kindness with them. So when this person approached me, I was like, okay, let me help him out. Then I tried explaining, but he was unable to get it. Then I understood, okay, maybe he is really not into technical background, so let me break down things for him. And then what I did, I explained one more time in a very slow motion because I think he had trouble understanding English also. I think he was a native of some other language in India. So I made it very, very slow for him to pick it up, like literally like this. I was going in that speed. It's not my usual speed though. I always speak a little fast, as you all know. So that I even reduced my speed and I tried making him comfortable, but it was not working. And so then I figured out the real problem is the technical jargon that he is unable to understand. So I sat down with him on a virtual meeting. Then I said, okay, let's start from here. So what I wanted to say is, it's about the client relationship and how we onboard folks. So I just mentioned that he is, he wants to build a house. So he comes to me as a consultant, and I get him skilled workers like carpenters, ironsmiths, or a person who does glass work. So I wanted him to visualize the roles. He is client and I am the consultant, and the workers are the real people that we are trying to onboard. So these kind of I made him practically visualize the situation, and it was easy for him. Then he thanked me like, Twinkle, I've always struggled with this kind of documents and this chart, and you made it sound easy. So I was like, no, I think I felt happy that he finally understood, and I was able to help a fresher that way. So that there comes to a point that I wanted to tell to the fellow youngsters who is listening to my podcast today. there are situations that we always have a fear in the beginning. Say for example, you are getting into a new coding environment, you are going to learn a new domain, you are going to learn a new process. Always that sounds scary. Beginnings are scary because it's fearful. We don't know how it will end up and all those things. But in my experience, I would say whenever you are finding it hard to understand something, always visualize in a way that you understand, like even such complex and complicated situations, right? If you break it down into logic where you can apply, forget the techie hi-fi words that you can see, but even forget that. I'm just a little distracted. I got an email, just give me a second please, sorry for that. Yeah, so what I was trying to say is we should always visualize to a relatable scenario to us. Say for example, if there is something very hard in the coding, some logic you're trying to apply, break it into smaller chunks, little steps that I've already spoken in the other episode, or visualize things that could relate to you. If I am walking in this path and some other my friend is coming in that path, what would be the shortest algorithm that we can use? So if you apply yourself as is in the role for your situation on the problem that you're trying to solve, it gets easier. So the ones who use a hi-fi technology words and fabricate the English, no, they make it complex even for even to explain things. They sound make it so complicated, it wouldn't be actually complicated. There is this Indian politician who's known for his English eloquency. He always talks in a IELTS type of English. His name is Shashi Tharoor. He talks really good English. I admire and adore his English, the command he has on the language. But people say that he uses words out of the dictionary and use it. I think in real life, in business, we don't need that fancy English. What we need is the effective communication where people talk and people listen. That's how business happens, right? People who uses hi-fi English in a working situation where most of the recipients were unable to understand, they would have only little knowledge in it, I would say, little knowledge in the matter of expertise, in the field of expertise. So there was this mentor on my first job where he taught us, our batch, to write SQL coding. Trust me, with his style of communication, with the style of explaining SQL, it was like out of the world. And you know, I was even thinking, where was he on my college days, where was he on my school days, where I didn't get an opportunity listening to someone teaching SQL that easily. He explained it in a brilliant way. So I think mostly people who are in the mentorship role or as a corporate trainer or a school teacher or college mentors, professors, all these people, I think it is very, very imperative and important to break complex things into smaller chunks which will help navigate to the brain of the youngsters in a way that they can understand. I was watching another video where a lady from a government school, a staff from a government school, a teacher from a government school, I'm sorry. So that teacher, what she was doing was, she was doing music for tables, that like we are 2 is to 1 is to 2, 2 is to 1 is to 2, 2s are 4. In that, she has a music slang to do that. You know, it reaches the brain faster than the normal tables that we try to by heart, right? So these are little things that the people who are in mentorship roles, I think we should adapt. Talking in simple sentences, not complicating it, talking in the words that listeners find it hard to understand. Communication should always be simple, clear, concise, complete, so the recipient understands the message effectively. Say for example, I'll give you an example for effective communication. How you compare performances to local market looks impressive. I wonder if we could also include industry forecast could also help us get in buy-ins. If we get more buy-ins, we will get more budget. So in this para, whatever I recited now is clear on what is welcomed. We say the local market idea looks impressive. What is expected? So the expected is to get more buy-ins. And what will be the outcome? The outcome is we will get more budget. So whenever we speak, we should be spot on the nerve, telling what is welcomed, what is expected, what will be the outcome in a complete sentence. Ineffective communication, I'll give you an example. A person A says, send me the report we did yesterday. So person B, we did 4 and which one are you referring to? Person A, the status report. Person B, we have 2 status report, which one do you refer? So this is endless communication going on, right? This is not a good effective communication. Incomplete information, it looks time consuming, recipient couldn't understand, it's not a complete communication. So always give people complete details in the first shot, in the first go, so they don't keep looking for more clarification, and it save our time as well, right? Why do we have to invest time in conversing these days? Time is money and time is so fast, so we should avoid spending more time in useless conversations. So how it should be? So please help me with the status report you worked on last evening, which depicts representation of sales by country before 10 a.m. today with an ETA. So if you give an ETA, ETA means it's estimated timeline. So if you give an ETA, so the person knows this is a report they want, this is a time that we generated, and this is a time I am expecting this report that you should send it. So there is no more questions to it. The communication is clear and concrete. So clear and concise communication is integral part and key critical factor and very important aspect for any business to succeed. I hope you agree with it, because if we don't speak the language our users understand or the recipient to your conversation understand, then it is no effective communication. It's your waste of time, waste of money. Everything is in the energy that you're investing in, it goes waste. So always make crisp and clear communication. I hope this tip helps you today. And with this note, this is your Twinkle signing off. Have a fantastic weekend ahead. Cheers. Bye. With love, lots of love, blessings. Yours, Twinkle.